Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
The show is exclusively sponsored by the law firm Condori & Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate, administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. KMLawyers.com. Tell them we sent you, get a discount. That's KMLawyers.com. Nats are idle tonight. Caps are back to work. Training camp has begun. It's exciting. Won't be long before they start back up, same as the Wizards. And the Commanders are trying to figure out if Jaden Daniels and that knee going to be good enough to play against the Raiders on Sunday. Let's get to it. What's going on in town that you care about? Your Beltway Blitz. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com. Mark, you've been earning that paycheck over at Nationals Park of late. Not always fun in the four-game series sweep covering the locals. Probably not what the doctor ordered, but what did you make other than the results of kind of what we saw in the last four?
I think there's a couple things, guys. One is that a lot of the young players, the position players in particular, they're on fumes at this point. I think they know the finish line is coming up. For a lot of them, it's the first time they play a full big league season. You see it in James Wood. You see it in C.J. Abrams. Now, that's not an excuse for the performance. And ultimately, if you're going to make it in this league and have a chance to play in October, you better be able to keep it going all the way through the end of September. And that's something they're all going to have to learn and take away from this. But as ugly as some of the final scores were, certainly the last two games of that series, they had golden opportunities to win them both. You have a scoreless game into the 10th the other night at the end of the doubleheader, and then yesterday you have a 3-0 lead going to the 6th. So not that they didn't deserve to get swept the way they played, but they did have a chance, and I think right now that's how it is a lot, that they're just not able to come up with quite enough to pull out these close games.
James Wood has a chance to set the all-time strikeout record, surpassing Mark Reynolds. I care about that, but I know that you're not supposed to if you care about like analytics and numbers and things like that. I think it's a byproduct of a lot of different things, and his second half swoon, it's kind of, again, emblematic of that. Just sort of give me your thoughts on him, his year, this half, and maybe where the team is at on those gaudy strikeout totals.
So I care about the record too, Danny, and I hope James himself does and doesn't want to set that record. I get that strikeouts aren't quite as viewed the same way as they used to be in such a negative way. And if you look at the leaderboard, certainly this year, the top strikeout guys, it's a bunch of top players. So usually it goes along with hitting for power and all kinds of other stuff. The troubling part is just how bad he's been in the second half. I mean, he hit 24 homers in the first half. He's hit 3 in the second half. The strikeout rate's gone way up. The walk rate has gone down. At times, he's looked lost at the plate. He takes strike three over the plate a lot. Then he swings at stuff outside the zone. Physically, mentally, I'm sure there's a lot going on through his head, but he's got to learn how you play a full 6 months. And I think one of the biggest challenges for whoever steps in to take over next year, both in the front office and the managerial and coaching staff, I think a huge challenge is going to be with Wood, with Abrams, all these guys, really helping keep them mentally there and physically there through 162. It's a huge part of being successful in the big leagues. It's just a shame to me that in Wood's case, at the All-Star break, we're talking about an all-time great season for a member of this team. And at the end, it's still going to be a good season, but I don't know that we're going to look at it as a great season.
Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com. How much, and I don't mean just Wood, but he's maybe the best example, should we question the coaching staff's inability to help these guys make any adjustments? Like, we've seen last year it was C.J. Abrams in the second half who completely cratered, and so many of these guys, whether it's Jake Irvin losing velocity and can't figure it out, Mitchell Parker and Irvin together have been kind of the worst starting pitchers in baseball since, I don't know, July or August of last year. Like, where are the adjustments? Where are the fixes? Where is the information they're being provided with to do something different?
It is 100% a valid question, and it's why when they announced late last season that they were bringing back the whole coaching staff, and when they did make the moves with Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo in July, the fact they were keeping everyone else through the rest of the season, it certainly was worthy of bringing up. The counterpoint to that, and you have to say this, is Dalen Lyle has improved tremendously over the course of the season. And Mackenzie Gore, after a rough stretch, has bounced back strong. Brad Lord has had a breakthrough season. If we're going to blame the coaching staff for the struggles, the regression of some of the other players, then don't you have to also credit them for the ascension or the improvement of others? I don't know what the right answer is in there, except to say that it has felt like since July when they made the moves that everybody on the coaching staff kind of knows they're lame ducks, and it's created an awkward position, I think, for everyone. And not that they aren't working hard and trying to do their best, but if you're a player who's going to be around here for a long time and one of the coaches is trying to help you out with whatever it is right now and you know they're not going to be here next year, I just wonder how much that message is sticking, or if you're even saying to yourself, is this the message I should be listening to, because right, it's not going to be the message I'm getting next year.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't even mean it from the standpoint of, like, player dev, right? Like, obviously, Dalen, there are success stories. There's guys having good years. I just mean when you start to struggle, as a pro, that's your gig, too. You're supposed to fix that and figure it out. You can look at your own tape. You know what you do well at that point. But that's quite literally, with a young team, what I think coaches are doing. You know, you're getting down in the film lab with those guys and going, okay, we need to do this. And maybe they are, I don't know. But it's less about I'm not trying to say they haven't developed anyone. I'm saying when guys start to go sideways, this org over a couple of years has not shown that guys all of a sudden can bounce out of it before the offseason. And then you got James going back to, like, his coach in Gaithersburg and reworking the swing. Like, why can't that be done in August?
No, you're not wrong about any of it, and that's why I really do believe it's going to be a totally new coaching staff next year, maybe one or two exceptions in some ways. And it's going to be one of the fascinating storylines next year. How much improvement is there, and is there a belief that a different manager and coaching staff in front office does make a positive difference? We don't know. We know what Davey said, you know, in the weeks leading up to his firing. We're going to find out eventually just how much it is on coaching or not on coaching in the end.
Mark, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Sounds good, buddy. I want a Mark-only blitz. Let's see if we can do that. Hit that commander sounder, please. Mark Seagraves, NBC4, to join us. Not necessarily breaking down the roster, but this whole stadium thing. Mark, we had in the bag all along. There was never any speed bumps, and this was smooth sailing, right?
Just the way you wrote it up. Exactly. That's right. It wouldn't be D.C. Council if there was not some drama. And yeah, there was drama yesterday.
So how much drama was it actually? I mean, when we were on the air, I had talked to some people over with the team that were really worried, that were really frustrated. And it turns out that I think it was Robert White threw five amendments out there, none of which passed, or none of the important ones they were worried about. But was anything actually perilous yesterday?
Absolutely. We all saw that letter that the team sent to the D.C. Council, and Chairman Mendelson, in their council breakfast meeting prior to the legislative session, was very clear that the team was frustrated that they were at the end of their patience and that Chairman Mendelson was very worried. And to give you an idea, they started that legislation, that legislative session, 3 hours late because Chairman Mendelson, behind closed doors, was on the phone with the team and other council members trying to clean this up, trying to get to a point where the bill would pass without, as you mentioned, it was the five amendments that Robert White had put forward. Most of them would have put very strict penalties on the team if they did not meet certain deadlines with the mixed-use retail development. Nothing to do with the actual stadium development, but the peripheral, because, you know, the team is the master developer, so this is more than just a stadium deal. This is all about mixed use and grocery stores and affordable housing, and none of that is, you know, going to happen until after 2030 for the two decades following. Robert White wanted $10 million a year penalty if they missed deadlines. He wanted the land to revert back to D.C. control after 20 years if the team had not developed it sufficiently according to plan. He wanted to double the amount of money the team would put in the community benefit fund from $50 million to $100 million. So, you know, like one stroke of the pen would have cost the team an additional $50 million. So these were real things that the team said just were onerous. I mean, that if there were these kinds of restrictions, that they there was a risk of them losing the land if they didn't reach certain deadlines, they would have trouble getting financing, long-term financing for the deal. So this was serious. This was not just, you know, people posturing or playtime or whatnot. You know, the deal was definitely in jeopardy because the bill was going to pass no matter what, right? It was just a question of whether these amendments made it on. And the team has the option, you know, and they still have that option, to say, oh, no, that's not the original deal we struck with the mayor, so we're going to walk away. Now, we know the team is happy with the final legislation. And the team, you know, they're not dumb. They've been down this road with other organizations, with other cities, with other teams. You know, and so they knew that there was going to be some last-minute wheeling and dealing, as there always is in any multi-billion-dollar deal, whether politics plays a role or not. But you know, this was a bridge too far for the Commanders. You mentioned Robert White, and I just got to, you know, get a little political with you on this now. So Robert White had been toying with the idea, flirting with the idea, saying that he was considering a run for mayor. He was going to run against Mayor Bowser for mayor of D.C. next year. The mayor's term is up, and she has not announced whether she was going to run or not. And so up until this morning, everybody was looking at Robert White as a possible mayoral candidate. And then last night, as you pointed out, he put forth five amendments that we just discussed about. All five of them failed miserably. He could not get more than four of his colleagues to come on board out of 13. He could not get more than four votes for any of those individual amendments. And now we wake up today, and he's announced he's going to run for Congress. He's going to run for the seat that Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton has had for many, many years. Of course, we know there's been a lot of questions about, you know, Norton's health and, you know, whether she's, you know, really capable of another term, and a lot of people have called on her to retire. So it's a much safer bet for him to run for that seat than to try to run for mayor. And it is not lost on me, somebody who's been covering politics in D.C. for nearly 30 years, that he made that decision, or at least he made his decision public after that, just what can only be described as just a brutal defeat on the dais from his colleagues. If you can't get, you know, seven of your colleagues to go on board, you know, one out of five amendments on something like this. And honestly, as a D.C. resident, these amendments weren't necessarily that crazy. You know, having, you know, some guidelines, having some accountability on a $3 billion deal when a billion of it is D.C. taxpayer money, maybe not such a bad idea. But, you know, he saw the writing on the wall that he couldn't get those votes on the D.C. Council. I think it's reasonable to say he probably figured he couldn't get the votes from the public either to become mayor of D.C.
Mark, thank you, buddy. Great information. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Enjoy the sounds of those engines revving near you. Let's hit the local 53 sounder, please. They got a football game this weekend, GP. After all that, where they're going to play for the next several decades, that's done, so to speak, till shovel hits the ground, TBD. But it also feels very good. They got to beat the Raiders this weekend, right?
They're going to, I think. Raiders coming cross-country, short week, played on Monday night, dealing with some important injuries on the interior of their offensive line as well. And, yeah, Washington's super banged up. It might be without John Bates. Might be without Noah Brown. We're awaiting word on the status of those two players, among others. I think there's a real good chance you don't have Jaden Daniels, but you've had 10 days otherwise, if you're healthy, to rest up. It's a very winnable game. You're going to be favored regardless in this matchup. Go get yourself a win. Get to 2-1, and I think all of a sudden that Packers game is going to be, well, in the back of our minds for a while, way less important to most people's outlook on what this team is. Short week going to Lambeau. Not ideal.
You start turning in some more good work, then you're right. It becomes more of an aberration as opposed to the sign of something maybe to come, right? But, yeah, I think it's a smart point. I mean, to me, this would go a long way for solidifying the operation, right? It validates all the offseason discussions, all the personnel moves. This was the plan. You go for games like this, quite frankly, not necessarily because the Raiders are in your division, but what do they want to do with Pete Carroll? Hand it to Ashton Jeanty a bunch. They want to get that guy on first, second, and third down, period, end of story. What was your offseason plan about? On defense, beefing up that run defense. On offense, it's, you know, three new offensive linemen, basically, to try to push around the Max Crosbys of the world to be able to establish what you want to do. This is a great chance to show it that it's not just a one-man band in Jaden Daniels and company, in theory.
By the way, the Raiders have been terrible at running the ball. They are second to last in the NFL in effectiveness right now. If you look at yards per play, yards per game, less than 3 yards per carry collectively as a team right now running the football. This is not what Pete Carroll signed up for, to your point. And this is not what they had in mind when they took Ashton Jeanty in the top 10. Now, it's not going to end here. Obviously, they're going to get this thing going, and they're going to fix this probably and hopefully not this week against Washington. But they have been one of the worst run offenses in the entire NFL to this point. That's your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Speaking of the Commanders, let's get into Washington's backfield next. How much Jacory Kroski-Merritt will we see this weekend? And what's the divvying up of carries going to look like without Austin Ekeler moving forward? That's next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments?
They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back and thanks for listening to the program. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight on the Fan, 2 hours remaining. And remember, you got Thursday Night Football, Dolphins, Bills, AFC East tilt right here on the Fan via Westwood One tonight in the 8 o'clock hour. So make sure if you're in the car this evening, you keep it locked on 106.7. Danny, we got ourselves a running back dilemma. Austin Eckler goes down, Achilles out for the year. The good news is Washington likes its room, right? The Commanders think that they have depth and that they can get by without an issue. First and second down, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's going to get a lot more work. He's going to be the bell cow. That would seem to be the plan. Chris Rodriguez will spell him. As far as Eckler on third down goes, I'm hearing a lot of people who think that's going to be Kroski-Merritt. I don't necessarily buy that,
though. I don't think it is.
I think it's going to be Jeremy McNichols. I think McNichols, like last year for a couple games, is going to be Eckler 2.0. He's going to come in, 2-minute, 4-minute. He's going to come in, passing downs. They trust him in pass pro. They trust him running routes. The stuff without the football, maybe a little bit more than the rookie. I hope they put a little bit on Kroski-Merritt's plate this week and then more next week. And if he keeps passing those tests, keep giving him more and more and more because he's a more talented player than anybody else on the roster. So how does Rodriguez fit in? I think that's another question here. My answer to that is he'll be what McNichols was in the first 2 weeks. You got to lead against the Giants. You need a physical runner in your 4-minute offense to try to grind clock. That's Rodriguez as a battering ram. You got a short yardage situation and one and a foot and goal from the 1 yard line. Maybe that's Chris Rodriguez. But the question we've got for you guys is twofold. How do you think they operate with their running backs and how would you go about aligning the roles now without Eckler? We want to dive in on this at 800-636-1067 with you.
The essential thing that I don't know, because I haven't seen it yet, the sample's been so small, a couple carries in the preseason. I know that Kroski-Merritt with the ball in his hands, good, yep, I feel comfortable there, right? He's got the burst, he's got the vision, he's got the quickness, he's got the agility, he's got the wiggle, he's got the power, the things that you look for as a ball carrier. What I have no idea about, pass pro. I have no idea about him as a guy that can make that right read. For example, if we're set because we think a linebacker is blitzing from a certain side, you got to help pick him up, and then he doesn't. Are you lingering around, or can you have the wherewithal to leak out as a secondary or tertiary option there? Are you a great receiver out of the backfield? I have no idea just yet. So because he's athletic, because he's got all those attributes that I mentioned in the first part of my answer, people just go, oh, he's Eckler. It's the same. It's not. They don't make that many pass-catching backs that are that good at that part of it. I think Merritt can do it eventually. I do. The things that I've seen in the athletic part of it make sense to me that he'd be able to catch the football and be able to a good route runner and do all those different things.
It's a real skill, though.
But it's a real skill. Yeah. That's my point. It's a real skill, and I haven't seen it. To me, the pass pro is the important part, though. So I'll finish my answer and then tag you back in. I need it to not be a tell, right, that in years past where it's, okay, everybody, here comes third down running back. He's trotting on the field. That means it's a pass, probably to him. I need you to be able to have some of the mystery. And if he can't do that on early downs, then I can't just hand it to him on first down every time I get a first down. There's got to be some mystery in there, which will limit the amount of time he's on the field for me.
So I don't worry at all about the tell. of who's on the field because all their guys can do enough of everything, right? There's not like a guy who's got bricks for hands that they're not throwing it to. When McNichols is in the gun as the pass protector and pass catching back, just like Eckler, they like him running the football. You've already seen him get carries in a year where Chris Rodriguez hasn't. He got carries last year. He started and played a lot in stretches. I mean, he was a focal point against the Cardinals when they hung 40 and dominated Arizona out there in the first quarter of last season. So I think they like him as a rusher and as, you know, a guy without the ball in his hands. We know Kroski Merritt is kind of the flavor of the month right now. They really, really want to involve him more and more. Rodriguez, I don't know what to think of their relationship with him or, you know, how they view him. He's still around as a sixth-round pick from the Rivera era. I thought he was their best back in the preseason. It didn't mean anything. He ended up being fourth in the pecking order and being sat, but, you know, now he'll get an opportunity. But the way I view this is, I think if we're looking at like a pie chart of carries moving forward, I could see Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt getting somewhere around 60% of the carries, with Jeremy McNichols getting something like 25%, and Chris Rodriguez getting 15%. Because I think that's what they were trying to work toward anyway, if Eckler was still there. Whereas Eckler last year, like, that's what Robinson got.
Yeah.
Robinson got over half of the carries. Eckler was just the change of pace, who was there to do the other two things as a major, and then he minored in the carrying of the football. But I just think the Green Bay game got away from them, and they were in 11 personnel and spread so much because even though they weren't down as much as it felt like they were, Kliff called the game like the score was the feel, not the reality. He called the game like they were down 20, I thought. Where they're, you know, I'm all for throwing it to set up the run, but they stopped running the ball. They stopped putting Kroski Merritt out there. They operated basically exclusively out of the gun with Eckler, and because of that, he had a 2-to-1 ratio of carries.
Yep.
Over Kroski Merritt. But I promise you, if you go back and look at it, that wouldn't have been the game plan. Like, I don't think Kingsbury, coming off of the game that JCM had just had in week one, where he averaged 8 yards a carry and was number 2 in the league in rushing yards over expected per attempt, they couldn't have possibly gone into that Raiders game thinking, let's make sure he gets half the carries of Eckler in this game. I just think that's how it happened. So I'm going to say 60% of carries or so go to JCM, and then the other two divvy up the rest with McNichols initially getting more. Because I think Rodriguez will be the backup to both, like McNichols had been.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really have a role. If Kroski Merritt's your primary first, second down guy, and McNichols, the way I see it, at least initially, is your primary third down shotgun protector type, then Rodriguez, who will be asked to do both inevitably, isn't majoring in either of those two things. So that's kind of the way I'm seeing it, at least to start the rest of this season.
That's
without
interesting.
Eckler.
Yeah, like, he's everybody's backup. Actually, I think you're probably right in terms of that assessment. Thinking about how I would do it, though, differently, because I think your percentages are pretty right on. And that's, of course, with the caveat that we offer, if you're just tuning in, the Jaden Daniels carries, or the whoever the quarterback is, with Mariota can run as well, too. I mean, Daniels leads the team in carries with 18 through the two games. The other two guys are at 14, JCM and Austin Eckler. Eckler, of course, won't be adding any more carries this year. But so you take that chunk out. So you're not going to have the 300 carry bell cow to even 250, 260, 270 like some of the other teams do. So among your, just call it 300 odd carries, just for the sake of argument to make it easy math, 125 to 150 are going to the quarterback. So how do you divvy up the rest of it, right? So I think you're probably right in the sense that it goes to JCM the most, maybe 55, 60%, whatever, because that's what Robinson did last year. What I would do is probably a little bit more closer to slide that fader down a little bit more and just keep everybody guessing at all times. My third down back would play on first down sometimes where it looks, I set everybody up. You see this package. It's Jeremy McNichols. Oh, he comes in on third down. They usually do this. And I hand it to him on first down, hopefully against a light box. I'm always trying to keep people guessing in that way. So I might give it to him more times than you're used to. Maybe another couple to Chris Rodriguez to allow some of that mixing and matching, but I think it'll end up being that way.
Yeah. I think that, there's got to be a hot hand element of this, too. If somebody gets going, they shouldn't be afraid to just ride that guy. I don't care who it is. I know you've been, like, very adamantly kind of against McNichols at points in terms of his jaggery, I guess, or whatever. But he's effective. He's helpful. There's nothing wrong with him.
Seriously, not at all.
He's a decent football player. He can play special teams. He does everything they ask. So there's no real difference in the long-term import to the organization for me between like him and Chris Rodriguez. So if there's a game where McNichols is making it happen and he's got four carries for 49 yards or something and he's ripped off three nice runs, keep involving him because clearly what you're doing out of that look is working. I think they have that luxury, that they will have that ability. This was Cliff Kingsbury today on what he wants to see from Crosky Merritt as he continues to get more reps.
Yeah, just continue to progress. And I would say playing without the ball. I think every time he's touched it, you know, good things happen. It's just as a young player, there's a lot of things you haven't seen, whether it's pass pro, you know, leading for somebody else, you know, running the proper route, route technique, things of that nature. So he's just got to keep coming. But I've been really impressed by his work ethic and staying on top of it, and he's definitely improved each week.
They obviously ask a lot out of these backs, too, because there is some fear or anxiety about Crosky Merritt with them, where they are reluctant to just let him let his hair down. Think about it. I mean, they have really put the governors on him every step of the way. And Quinn has talked about basically breaking off this little itty bit of food and putting it on his plate. Now we'll give him a little bit more. They're afraid to just kind of take out a spoon, cafeteria style, dip it into the pan, and just slop it right on the plate. A bunch of food. Give it to him and let him feast. They don't want to do that. But you can hear what he's talking about. It's not the carrying of the football.
Right. It's away from
He'll
the ball.
He'll be okay. Yeah. It's all the other stuff. And he talks about leading. You know, the way that they use their pullers and their read option and their pistol and some of their quarterback runs and those types of things. Sometimes he's responsible more than anybody else from keeping Jaden Daniels from taking the big shot. That stuff really, really matters.
And it's not just, again, the athleticism of having the ball in your hands where these guys have been doing this forever, right? You were the quickest guy on the field at, you know, the age of my son is right now in flag football and no one could stop you. That's the next level. I need to be able to trust you to pick up the right blitzer, to stop that blitzer, or whatever the protection is, to keep my quarterback safe and sound, regardless of who it is.
I think they know right now everything they need to know about him as a ball carrier. I think they know he can do it, and he'll be really good as a rusher. If it was only about that, it's a video game, you just put him in, you run the football, he's the guy, and he gets 95% of their carries. There's just a lot more to it than that. My guess is that the Montgomery, Alabama native, 5'11" Ja'Cory Crosky Merritt, just like he impressed with everything else he's been tasked with as a rusher, he will be able to do the other stuff too. It might take a little longer. Doesn't come as naturally maybe to be a pass protector, pass catcher, what have you. But he went to Alabama State, he figured it out. He went to New Mexico, he figured it out. He went to Arizona, he figured it out. You know why? He's a football player, man.
Football boy.
This is a football player. This was Cliff Kingsbury today on what he wants, or rather, the hardest part about replacing Austin Ekeler. And the fact now that you're without your RB1, who is the most utilized guy in the backfield for the rest of the season.
Just the run after catch stuff and the ability to make people miss in space. We were able to set up some plays and do different things to get him touches that the first guy never tackled him. And that is kind of the hidden yards. You can take some stuff off the quarterback with a guy who can get you those type of yards. So that will be missed.
I love that answer. That is the superpower of Austin Ekeler. Mm-hmm. The check down that turns into nice game.
This is always my point, man.
The easy button of the dump off to he made two guys miss and he got nine. The hidden yards, that's what he called it. I've always thought of hidden yards in football as like return yardage or penalty yardage, the stuff that you don't notice in the box score, but you add it up and you're like, you were minus 78 in hidden yards today. Probably lost, right? Mm-hmm. How about the easy button yards you don't think about when he makes two guys missed and gets another 6 or 8 or 12 and shifts field position on a 3rd and 14 or whatever it is.
Screen pass against the Giants, man. Set you back. Now, ironically, it was Eckler's own false start that set him back, but whatever. 1st and 15 became just a first down.
Yeah.
And you get the scoring range because of it. That's his superpower. Again, the highlight guys are the DeSean Jacksons of the world that are going over the top and beating everybody, Tyreek Hill in his prime. And that's great, too. That's $30 million a year worth. The hidden, sometimes unsexy, is that, you know, between the 20s type work that Ekeler was so good at as an easy option for this offense.
There is another veteran running back that they brought in here that is on the practice squad now. And that's Chase Edmonds, who actually played a bunch in Arizona when Cliff was there. He once had 100 carries in a season with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. Is he going to factor into this conversation in the coming couple of weeks, or might it take a little while? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
More by committee, there's no doubt. That's a tough loss. I feel really bad for Austin. Incredible contributor in the locker room and on the field. Was really playing at a high level this year, so that hurts. But we have some young backs that are excited to get more touches, and so it'll be kind of that group that's been playing, just getting more of the load.
Cliff Kingsbury with the media today out in Ashburn. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. So the guy that I mentioned that could still factor into this before it's all said and done, too, is Chase Edmonds. Edmonds comes to Washington as a free agent addition. He's on the practice squad. He could be elevated at any point. Heck, he could be active this weekend. Very unlikely, because they were not activating four running backs. They're only keeping three up in the past. And that's why, you know, Chris Rodriguez wasn't getting the nod.
Yep.
But if they wanted to go in a different direction and start doing that, then both Rodriguez and he could be up on game day. But we last saw Edmonds with the Tampa Bay Bucs in 2023. Actually wasn't in the NFL playing in games actively healthy in 2024. So you fast forward now, he's 29 years old. It's been a little while. I always feel like when you miss a season and your last uber productive run was three or more years ago, especially at that position, I am turning the expectations way, way, way down.
Yeah, the old knob is going to the left there on that one.
So I happen to think it's kind of whatever you get a bonus situation. But they've got interesting names, right? Edmonds, Donovan Edwards, who's a former national champion at Michigan, who, if you remember, was in a timeshare at Michigan with
Blake Corum.
Blake Corum was now with the Rams. And they were kind of this thunder and lightning tandem, and Edwards was a burner. But he's a big guy when you look at his size, 6 foot, 200 pounds. He never really had huge seasons at Michigan. He had a 990-yard year, was kind of the biggest and best that it was. Otherwise, he averaged around 4 or 5 yards a carry. But it just hasn't gone very well for him in the league since he got to the NFL. He's bounced around a little bit, just got cut, and has played for the Jets and now the Commanders. But he's 22 years old, so he's young. There's upside there. He comes from a big-time program, played marquee college football. They like what they've got in the building, and I understand why. I mean, they've got quantity. They feel like they've got quality. We're going to find that out as we go.
Indeed. I wanted something more secure, more certain, you know, in that running back room, but they were clearly comfortable, right? They didn't want to invest very much at all. They had Eckler coming back, who I was enamored with, who I loved, but not any more than, say, 125, 130 touches overall when you add up carries and receptions. We didn't even get there, you know, just because of the injury that happened. Just sucks. But the rest of it, I was, you know, I thought we're going to do another Brian Robinson dance until they finally realized, nope, that ain't it, and they moved off of him. Really a vote of confidence in Kroski Merritt. Well, here you go. I mean, the equivalent to me would be like, all right, when is Ben Sinnott going to take his turn? And before this year, they said, you know what? Thanks, Zach Ertz, for the time. We're gonna let the kid do it. They did that at the running back spot. So it seems like now's the time, right?
I'm glad you brought up Brian Robinson, by the way, because I don't think in any way this should be a referendum on trading him. I know that one of the national takes that I heard in a couple of places,
because it's easy, right?
Right. Was like, oh, they shouldn't have traded Brian Robinson. Because you look at him, he was a third-round pick. He's 26 years old. Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler did very different things for this team, very different roles. Could Robinson catch the football better than people thought? Yes. But is he going to have the same shiftiness, make you miss, that Eckler had, that they're going to, you know, be longing for? Absolutely not. That is what McNichols gives you a little bit of. That is what Kroski Merritt's got more of. Chase Edmonds has been that guy when he was younger in his career. That's what they're looking for. Robinson, in case you're curious, has actually already carried the ball 15 times in 2 games for San Francisco. Just tells you they played 2 very different games,
yes,
because Washington, collectively, all their running backs basically have 15 carries.
Yeah, they don't have a guy with 15, yeah.
Christian McCaffrey has 30 or whatever he's got. And B-Rob, the second running back for the Niners, has 15. But he went 6 for 20 in game one. He went 9 for 33 in game two. So you're talking about an average through 2 games of 3.5 yards per carry, which is basically what we came to expect here. He doesn't have a single run of longer than 9 yards. And the stat I kept bringing up before they traded him was Brian Robinson ranked 86th in the NFL in the percentage of his carries that go for 10 yards. So I don't think trading him was a mistake. Certainly wasn't when they made it. And even after this Eckler injury, I don't feel any differently. Like, sinking or swimming with Kroski Merritt and the rest of these guys won't change how I feel that if B-Rob was here, you're still in a spot where you miss Eckler, because it's not the running of the football. It's the other stuff.
It's everything else.
That wasn't necessarily B-Rob's strength. Let's go to Brian in Lovettsville, who joins us on the Fan. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, dude.
You kind of stole my thunder. I thought I was going to come with this thought-provoking point about Chase Edmonds and Donovan Edwards being on the practice squad, but you beat me to it. So, yeah, I do think that they are both better options as far as replacing Eckler's production, you know, as far as being a third down, like, scat back type. I think they really could have a hidden gem in Donovan Edwards. And given how old this entire roster is right now, it would be great to see us have, you know, develop a young guy and turn out to be something. Another name I'll throw out there, if we're going to stick to being, you know, kind of like the retirement home of teams, is Daryl Patterson. I might be saying that wrong, but he's on.
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, long time return man. I mean, look, Cordarrelle Patterson is, I mean, he's another journeyman who's been all over the place. I don't know how much you want to have, you know, the running back retirement home. He's 34 years old. I'd rather go younger with guys like Edwards, who's 22, kick the tires, see if he can figure something out. But yeah, if you want to just keep bringing some guys in, because to your point, could he be interesting out of the backfield? Could he be a pain catching the football? No doubt about it. That's certainly something they could do. They worked out several running backs, by the way. Like, one of the ones that they signed, we all know about, because they actually put pen to paper with Edmonds, but they worked out supposedly like five or six running backs over 2 weeks who have been known to be pass catchers at different point. Let's go to Mark in Landover Hills. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Grant, what's happening? Top of the day to you, Dan.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say, Grant, you're spot on, man. I think they could have got a couple of gems with Edmonds and Edwards, man. They're both solid backs, and I understand about the reps and everything and being around, but, man, like you said, Grant, man, these are younger guys, and, man, from what I remember watching them in college and in the pros, man, these guys are solid, man, and that's good to see them pick up and, you know, help the team if they can.
I just like adding youth to this group, Mark. I mean,
yeah, let's lower that average age a little bit, especially when you're talking – not you're talking about someone that's going to come in and play 100 snaps for you this week. It's if you're talking about depth and development, that's what the whole practice squad is for. That's, to me, that's the idea here.
Yeah, and the practice squad, by the way, is now become where you're just stashing 34-year-olds for a lot of teams.
Well, that's like, true, too, yeah.
It used to be that the practice squad was, here's your undrafted free agent – who isn't ready for the bright lights, so we'll keep him around this year. And then next year, after we've essentially redshirted him, he can play. Now your practice squad is like, you signed Amari Cooper last week, and you're getting him into shape. I mean, because the rules have changed so much. What an opportunity for Kroski Merritt, though.
Without a doubt. I mean, you master those things that Cliff Kingsbury was talking about, and that you and I have hit on. The stuff that isn't always noticeable when you're just watching a game here and there. You notice the guy with the ball in his hands, oh, nice juke, nice run, etc. It's that the intimate knowledge of where everybody's supposed to be, where the pressure's coming from, the pass blocking, the receiving, the intricacies there that a lot of guys have made careers out of. If you're good enough in that regard to go with your running ability, turn them loose, but that's what we don't know yet.
Jeremy McNichols is the only guy standing between you and being a three-down back in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
2 games into your rookie season after being drafted in the 7th round. Think about that. What an amazing collection of circumstances to have gotten him here. But it is, as far as he goes, from a value standpoint, it's a rocket ship. You know, he and his agent have to be just counting their blessings. You've got a golden chance in a lead offense, in a backfield with Jaden Daniels. You know, the other guys that are in this read option scenario with the running quarterbacks, we're talking about like Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. A 7th round pick who's been at 3 different colleges, barely got drafted, 2 games in, is about to... Basically, if he can overtake Jeremy McNichols, get a chance to be a, you know, a 1,000-yard, 1,200-yard type back, if he can put it all together. That's an amazing story. We've got our confidence points picks coming up at 5:45 today on Grant and Danny. Also, we're expecting to catch up with our buddy Drew Storen. He's going to be in the neighborhood today.
Nice.
Drew is taking part in Barbecue and Barrels. Remember, he and Tyler Clippard, his former relief pitching mate with the Nationals, have their own... type of bourbon that they get from the corn, from the corn fields in Iowa, from the Field of Dreams field, from the movie.
That's pretty neat.
It's a pretty, pretty cool thing. So we'll have him in at some point in studio today to talk about that. And we're also giving away tickets to see Adam Sandler when he comes to D.C. We'll do that at 6 in 1 hour. So you better make sure you're listening when our 6 o'clock hour kicks off on Grant and Danny if you want Adam Sandler tickets on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.